Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, 97.1. So, rightfully so, we have all been Lions crazed, NFL crazed, and you wake up and you're in the wilderness. It's a scene from American Primeval. And now the frontier is out there. What do I do? Well, one sport nobody cares about until right about now. It happens to be Rico's specialty. So we're going to do day zero. What you've missed while watching real sports. College Hoops Edition. Good luck. You won't know who plays where. Rico, take us all to church.
Well, Michael, and everybody out there who is just starting to pay attention to college hoops, let me start by saying this. It just means more.
The SEC's dominant.
The SEC is the best conference in college hoops. If you are just starting to watch, don't freak out when you see 4 of the top 8 teams are from the SEC.
Bama, Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee. I have the 4 right?
Yeah.
Kind of feel good about that?
Auburn won. Yes. Auburn is 1. Alabama is 4. Tennessee is 8. And I'm sorry, and Florida is 5.
And Kentucky, they're good too, right?
Kentucky just lost 2 in a row.
Oh, my bad.
But they're sitting there at, I think, 11.
And they brought back those throwback uniforms from the 90s with their new coach. They look nice.
Okay.
So, yes.
So, the SEC is doing in hoops what they're supposed to do in football.
But isn't college basketball better with Florida being good?
I've never liked Florida, but...
Well, you weren't a big Teddy Dupay fan?
No.
Okay. What, you didn't like J-Dubs? No. Jason Williams? No. Huh?
No. But, right. Yes, the SEC is the most dominant team
okay.
in college hoops.
Number 2.
UConn, the back-to-back title team, national title, not that good this year. It looks to be that maybe the NIL and everything that UConn wanted to do and bringing in the players not happening, and the coach is melting down a little bit, saying, hey, telling refs, don't you effing turn your back to me. I'm the best coach in hoops.
I mean, Dan Hurley's the man, but you know what it appears to me is that they're like, just wake us up when the tournament gets here. And it might be too late by that point, but you're right. Some of the transfers they brought in, who was that point guard they brought in? Mike loved him from St. Mary's.
Oh, Aiden Mahaney.
Yeah, it's just, it seems like it's not translating. They have a big freshman.
Well, he's also 3,000 miles away. He grew up in a small town right near St. Mary's. He plays at St. Mary's, was like playing at your local church.
Yeah.
And now you're at UConn. Like, look, what they got that Stephen Castle kid. Didn't they get him from East Carolina? And
yep.
He turned into, look, you're not going to hit every transfer.
Right.
And you're not going to win it every year. So, like, it doesn't surprise me. But when Rico told me, when I saw the Hurley thing, don't you turn your back. I go, oh, my dear. Oh, boy.
He's crazy.
Speaking of that, let's just stick with that theme.
Crazy.
Just because you went out and spent a ton of money and brought in all these transfer players doesn't mean it works out. I'm looking at you, Kansas, and I'm looking at you, Arkansas.
All right. May I ask a question, even though it's your blitz?
Yeah.
I want to ask to the both of you, are these fair or unfair opinions? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
The game has passed John Calipari by.
I think it's unfair. I think he still knows what he's doing. It's just, there's
what,
too much
putting
parody.
On a suit jacket?
No, I mean, he still gets basketball, but there's a lot of parity now. He's not just going to get it because of who he is. He's not going to get those top players anymore.
I'm just saying, what does he want in 15 years?
I don't think it's passed him by, but what I think he needs to learn how to do, and this is going to sound silly because it's talking about a coach, he needs to learn how to develop players. It's not simply, I got 40% of the NBA has come through me. So that's really how they've won so many games. Just because you have NBA players doesn't mean you win. Go ahead.
Name one word to describe Bill Self. Besides scumbag.
Arrogant.
That's a good word.
Okay. Because the roster construction, his arrogance is why they're in the spot they're in.
Yes.
Kansas, they're not a well-put-together team.
And you just can't win with Hunter Dickinson. I'm sorry, you can't win with a one-trick pony as your big.
I mean, they went out and they stole Wisconsin's best player in A.J. Store.
And he got worse.
And Wisconsin got better.
What about O.G. Ababadabi?
Yeah. Speaking of which, Rutgers.
Oof. Rutgers.
Has two NBA players, but they're not that great as well. Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. They'll probably be 2 and 3 in the NBA draft, but not that good. But if you're wondering who the best players are in the Big Ten, they reside with Rutgers.
Nice sport.
It's crazy. I'm just sick of hearing how great of a coach that they have.
What, Bob Rice or whatever
his name
is?
Like he don't win. And he's got these great players. And then you watch him play against Michigan State over the weekend. Harper was non-existent. He might have been hanging out with his dad. I don't know what was going on. But Ace Bailey, he's just a chucker. And it's like, just get me to the NBA is what some of these kids are doing.
Yep, nice sport. Really easy to buy into, isn't it?
No, there's a lot of parity in college hoops.
Next. Number four.
Cooper Flagg of Duke is the best player in college hoops.
He's welfare Wembanyama, true or false?
Oh, wow. I can't say that.
I wouldn't put him. It's an unfair comparison.
To call him welfare version?
I think that's giving up too. I mean, dude, Wemby is.
Wemby, I don't think we've seen anything like
him. You haven't.
But Flagg is the best player in college hoops. And, dude, watching him the other day sit up at the podium and Shire's talking about how much the team has not played zone ever with Duke. And he looks at Flagg. He's like, have you ever played zone? He goes, nope. Not a day in his life.
The ACC is bad this year. I know it's normally the best conference in hoops. There's Duke. There's Louisville. And that's about it.
By the way, shout out to Louisville because they've been dreadful the last few years.
Yes.
Dreadful. So nice to see them back. I'm with you. The SEC is a complete nothing burger.
Yeah.
It's awful. Every team you... And by the way, Hubert Davis hit the bricks.
Isn't it crazy that they keep trying to bring in these coaches into North Carolina and they just fail? And
you've got
to
be a Tar Heel, man. I'm kidding.
When are schools going to get rid of that crap?
Just wait till MSU does it. They're going to hire Ernie DeCan, man.
Oh, boy. Unless he's dead. All right. For those who haven't paid attention.
Meaning everyone.
There's two names, two universities that are back.
Okay.
St. John's and Memphis are also back. They are actually good teams, both in the top 25.
Tricky Ricky.
Yes.
Did you two hear Patino's comment late last week towards the weekend? They had just blown the doors off Seton Hall.
Yeah.
This is where it's tough for me. They stole Seton Hall's best player. And he goes, guys, he ain't here because he wants to play for me. And he didn't leave Seton Hall because he don't want to play for Shaheen Holloway. It's simple. I got more money than Shaheen. I go, awesome sport. He basically described his best player as a hostage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the truth, but you got to like watching Memphis. Anybody that grew up in the 90s, you got to root for Penny Hardaway, right?
That's me with Patino. With St. John's.
I mean, that's me with Penny. I mean, I see the shoes.
I go back to the Felipe Lopez era.
All I hear is little Penny saying, I love little Penny, man. Chris Rock, he was so good.
That was a classic.
But I will give it to you. Yes, schools like that. I miss Cincinnati being good. The 90s.
Yeah, with Kenyon Martin.
Danny Fortson.
But if Kenyon didn't break his leg, State would have never won the national championship.
That's probably true.
That's one of the biggest butterfly effects in college hoops. It really was.
What about Scoonie Penn? All right, go ahead.
Iowa State, not Kansas is the best team in the Big 12.
I'm going to stay with Houston. I'm convinced all their players are 35 years old, and they're tough as nails. But Otzelberger has done an unbelievable job. But they're in some trouble tonight. They are underdogs at unranked Arizona. But yes, ISU's for real.
Yeah, they are for real. And after watching Kansas collapse to Houston over the weekend, I turned that game off. And then I was like, whoa, what happened? They turned it over?
Yeah, three straight possessions.
Oh, my God.
It was epic.
6 points with like 18 seconds left.
And Houston makes, Fog Allen.
Houston makes every play.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
They're tough as nails.
Yeah. And, guys, here's something that if you just started following Hoops and you're locally, the two local schools are two of the three best teams in the Big Ten, Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan State undefeated in the Big Ten. Michigan has lost two games in the Big Ten, but both teams win a lot of games.
So do this for the people, each of you. 30-second or less scouting report on Michigan and Michigan State for people that are going to rise like Jesus on Easter to watch college hoops.
For Michigan, you got two things that are going for you. It's Wolf and it's Vlad Golden. Your 2 7-footers, they play a great pick-and-roll game together, and they score a lot of points in the paint. The problem with Michigan, they turn the ball over a ton because Wolf is your de facto point guard, and he's 7 feet tall. So you don't have anybody. That's how you lost to Purdue, because you turned the ball over, I think, 22 times at Mackey.
It was impressive.
Normally means you're going to lose. But that those two, when they're in sync, they're unstoppable, because you have to pick your poison between Golden and Wolf of who's going to win. For Michigan State, probably Tom's most balanced team that he's had since 2019, because there's nobody at the top of the whiteboard that you have to stop. Because everybody does just enough and does their job that they keep winning, but they're a team without a superstar on it. And I think that's what's helped them so far, because there's no one that you say you got to stop Tyson Walker. There's nobody on the team that
here's
you have
to stop. Here's what's
going to
kill them in the tournament. They can't shoot the three. True or false?
Now, that was the last thing, is they are one of the worst three-point shooting teams.
They've shot it better this year than they did last. I think not having your point guard get shot in the middle of the year is a big uplift for Michigan State.
I've heard that.
Michigan's biggest downfall is going to be their guards. It really, really is. I mean, these fans are scapegoating this kid, Gale, that came in from Ohio State, and Enrico's right. But any team that can match up with two bigs, which is probably like five teams in America, will give Michigan fits, but it's their guards that are going to cost them games.
Let me ask you a question. Since you two are the experts, I just try to fill in the blanks. I give you these five teams or the field. We'll revisit this before the tournament.
Okay.
These five teams to win the national title or the field. Ready? Iowa State, Alabama, Auburn. Who am I missing? Florida. And there's one more. Who am I missing in there, buddy?
Houston.
Those five are the field.
Give them again.
I'm going to say the field. All those teams choke in the tournament.
Okay. No,
Iowa State.
It was basically your best SEC teams plus
Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Yeah, I'm probably going to take the field.
You're going field.
I'm going to go field.
There it is.
I'm going to go field, because you know what? You know who's a team that could just win, but they will come from the SEC? Could be Kentucky. When Kentucky's on fire, they'll score 110 points without blinking.
And I like their new coach. I really do. I think
he's a former player there.
Yeah, and that's why he brought back the throwbacks that he used to wear when he was there. And Auburn, you always see fail. Like, I know that they're a great team, but they always fail in the tournament. Well, Houston fails in the tournament.
You shut your mouth.
They do. Bro. They choke.
That is not true. I will not tolerate Houston Cougar slander.
And then
I love those guys.
You got to hope that Jahani stays healthy.
Johnny Broom, still in school, year 12.
Jahani.
NIL, man.
Fun fact, he played for Morehead State in 86. He's still in school. He's had two full careers.
He guarded Never Nervous, Purvis.
Yeah, 1986, yeah. Elite Eight. All right, that is your While You Were Sleeping Catch Up to Speed College Basketball Primer. Paul Sarah, if you'd be so kind, I want a couple of the ticket texts. We're going to get back to the phones. If you missed anything, Odyssey.com, rewind. Paulie, what do you got?
So this is from an unnamed texter. Eagles barely beat the Rams, but were saved by the weather. Lions had a good chance of beating them, even with the injuries.
Okay. Tell yourself whatever you want, because the one thing I know for certainty, you're home. Like, you can live in delusion. This is the thing that needs to change with this fan base. And it only comes through strife and pain and suffering and failure. You need to get a grip on reality. Because I think for all year, and Jim Costa represents all that is evil with this fan base, it is this whole idea that you are somehow the anointed, that you are somehow on your third Super. There is one fan base who gets to behave that way, and they reside in Kansas City. You do not get to be that way. And you know how I know that? Because a former player who comes on this station said as much this morning. And I've never been prouder of Thomas John Lang. Outside of the time I saw him beat Wade Boggs' record for drinking beers on the lake.
Oh, boy.
The point I make is, TJ even said it. You haven't earned the right to act that way. But go ahead. Tell yourself when you couldn't beat a rookie quarterback last week that you would have beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
But they went 15-2.
It doesn't matter. Because now in the post-haste, when we really look back all of it, how many really good teams they actually play?
Two. You played the Rams week one, and you won because you won the coin toss. And I guess the Texans on the road.
There's your two. Okay? So the point is, now that we look back, you go, you know what? It was a hell of a regular season. We did our job against teams we were supposed to do our job against. But the reality is we were never as good as we thought. Not post-injuries. That was the whole reason when the Carlton Davis Alim thing happened, that's where I opted out. And I go, we're not winning the Super Bowl. But go ahead. You can tick a text until you're blue in the face.
I think also when you autopsy the season, your division wasn't as strong as you thought it was either.
Oh,
because everyone got schooled in the playoffs.
Rico called it the Big 12. 40-11. The combined records of the three teams that made it, zero playoff wins. And I hate the fact he's right. That kills me inside.
This is from an unnamed texter. Last year changed me. Nothing matters but winning the Super Bowl. Season starts when the playoffs start.
Okay, see, that's the question I ask people to start 3 o'clock, is did this season and then this weekend of not being involved in championship weekend after you were last year, and you had this 15-2 record, it resulted in nothing. Has it changed how you view your team? Meaning, not how much you love them, not how deeply you burn for a Super Bowl, but in the innocence is kind of gone. It's you become weathered to where now, if they go 12-5 next year, do you care? What did we do in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. If they don't win the division, I don't think you care.
I just think it's a stripping of the innocence. You have 2 years where you could have got it done. Should have got it done when you're up 17 in San Francisco. Should have.
Well, I can say this also, that because you won the division 2 times in a row, you have nothing to show for. So does it really mean anything that you have to win a division? Because I think for a lot of Lions fans, they thought, okay, but if we ever have to play the championship game again, it's got to be in Detroit. And once it's in Detroit, there's no way we're going to lose, except for you didn't get there. You lost to the Commanders.
If you're a Lions fan, are you at all concerned that all your losses this year were at home?
Wow. Paul from the deep three right there. Wow.
No, I'm going to say no, but I think I am guilty of something, and I can admit my faults. I think I've probably overstated the home field advantage. I think I still am a little bit seduced from last year in the playoffs where I've never heard crowd noise like that. You know what? Like last weekend, crowd was fine, but I don't think it was great.
No, it wasn't. Well, it probably started off fine, and then, you know, the Commanders scored, and then they scored again, and then at that point, it was, oh, boy. Now you're playing the math game in your head. Okay, if we could just score here and stop them, and then maybe we go for two, and if this and if that, and while you're doing all of that math in your head, they just kept scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened in that game, honestly, was that fans went into that game thinking, I'm going to make some TikTok videos in the stands. It's going to be a party. We don't have to worry about this. And then, like you said, Rico, after a couple scores, they're like, wait a second, do we actually have to pay attention to this game?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened was, we're here. We probably should have sold our tickets, but we're here. We're going to be fans. We're going to enjoy this. Let's make sure we document everything and put it up on social media. Hashtag grit. And we're going to the Super Bowl. And yeah, And then before you know it, you're like, put the phone down. We need to root for this team.
So that's my question is, do you think this year changed people? And again, maybe people don't. And look, they're calling up about a lot of other things. I'm not salty about it. It's just, I wonder if the, man, this is awesome, we're taking over towns, regular season fiestas, does that all go away now? Now that you understand, you truly understand. Last year was a magic carpet ride. This year was the weight of expectation. Neither got home. Now do you approach this where it's win or bust? Because I'm sorry, I don't view it like yes, 15-2 is great. It resulted in nothing. A titanic nothing burger. Part of it is their fault, part of it is terrible luck with injuries. But next year, I couldn't imagine fans doing what they did this year, knowing it's only what you do in the postseason that truly defines greatness. Yeah. No one remembers all of the wonderful regular season teams that didn't win anything. I mean, like, is anyone going to remember these Bills teams? No. These Buffalo Bills teams will be a footnote in history.
They get lumped together as one team that just couldn't get past Mahomes.
Yeah, right. They're the Utah Jazz with John Stockton.
Yeah.
248-539. Good call. I try. It's, again, showing my age. Friday, it was a Sega Genesis blast, and now today it's this.
Stockton and Malone, yeah.
Losers. John Stockton was so overrated. They padded his stats. They gave him a ton of free assists. It's a joke.
They could be the Sacramento Kings of the early 2000s.
There you go. Mm. And that's my point. Nobody remembers. So I think it's fascinating to see how people, I don't know, alter their perspective. If they alter their perspective. Go to Sam, 97.1. Sammy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon. I got two statements. So after I say this first one, I'm going to need you to hit that chair drop button.
Okay.
This is about Lions fans when they were playing the Commanders. Oh, we're playing the Commanders. Easy. We're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, there you go.
Got
That's
it.
Exactly what happened. Second, I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl because the Lions aren't in it, and I'm just over. What I do have to look forward to, and – something I know you like, or you don't like, what? Is watching Sister Jean in March Madness.
Oh, Jesus. Now, first of all, we'd have to go to Rico to find out if they're going to make it.
Probably have to win their tournament.
Okay, too bad. Hate to see it. Look, Sam, I got to be honest. I didn't realize Sister Jean was still with us. Was she 110?
Yeah. Of course, when she had her birthday, everybody said, make sure you let Mike know it's her birthday.
Yeah, man, you know what? I'd like to let you know that she's not nearly as nice as she's put out to be. And that she knows exactly where the cameras are. And I don't like her. You know what else I don't like? Stop tying balloon animals to this poor woman like she's a tree.
Jeez, man.
They do. They tie balloons to the woman.
100 years old and you just have bad things to say about her.
No. People in college basketball have had some bad things to say about her. She's not so nice.
Oh. Mike's breaking news.
Just like Martha Stewart, she wasn't very nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she's got street cred. She's
I'm just making the point
she's
to you.
Hardcore.
Okay. You know what? We'll get your calls and ticket texts.
She's got that brownie tramp stamp.
Let me. Wait, what?
I'm kidding. It's Martha Stewart.
Okay. Do me a favor. Turn this microphone off. 97.1. Straight to the people, then we dive into Can We Say That? Championship Weekend Edition. We lead the segment. Tony is batting leadoff. Tone, what's going on? How are you? Tony?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
There he is. What's up, Tone?
Yeah. Not so much. Y'all all right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to give some appreciation to you guys. I listen to y'all like every day and all day. I love your honesty, but I think the Lions had a successful season. Just it didn't. I mean, win the game in the playoffs. And they was expected to win more. I mean, to go further. So today, I mean, it's like, and I don't know how to put it. I feel like it was more disappointing to see them lose this year than last year.
And that Rico has said that. I listen. That's a Tony. It's a subjective thing. I can only speak for myself. So if you think it was a successful year, I'm not going to Tony. What am I going to do? Yell at you? No. It's just for me. Last year was a success because it was the arrival, and you won some playoff games, and you got so close to getting it done. This year, from the start of the year, I said where I would be at with it. Yeah. And I am only regretful that the injuries took away your best opportunity. But at the end of it, if I told you that they wouldn't win a playoff game this year, forget about the record, they wouldn't win a playoff game, would you have considered that a success? Tony, I don't think you ever would have called me up in August and said yes to that.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And see, I would say this, Tony, the reason why I agree with you, last year, the three-month Super Bowl lasted really for about a week. Once you made the NFC title game, now you can start dreaming, maybe it could be us this year. This year, it was a five-month journey that we are going to be the best team. It's Super Bowl the bus. We are headed to New Orleans. And that's why, like, it was a bigger letdown.
Yes, it was. Even though we went further, like you say, even though we went further last year, it hurt because it was the expectation was so high.
Now, did you watch the games? Tone, did you watch the games this weekend or did you opt out?
I watched the games, but it just felt wrong without the Lions playing. Because me and my family, we suited up, man. We suited up. My lady got me a Jahmyr Gibbs jersey. It's a rare all-black Jahmyr Gibbs jersey. It was hard to find. She got it for me for Christmas. I wear it every single time they play. But, yeah, it was empty. Yeah. I still like football.
I know that. I still like football. When you lose a game of that magnitude and you had Super Bowl goals, Tone, I get it. I said it last Friday. If I didn't do this for a living and I were a Lions fan, I wouldn't watch either game. I'm not interested in anyone being happy. Just not. And even watching yesterday, the only thing I could take out of it was, you know what? Pretty sure you weren't beating the Eagles. So you saved yourself even worse pain. And Taylor Swift runs football. I quit. No, I'm glad I would never trade places with a Bills fan. Not if I'm a Lions fan or a Giants fan or a Niner fan, whatever it is. The Bills are living in hell. It is better to have never been than to consistently go and get assassinated. I know that's a famous quote. It may be by George Washington. The point I'm making is the Bills, all they do, they're awesome. And their season ends the same way every year. Yeah. Lose to Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, it's something about being, and I like to say consistently great. They're better than good, but they don't win at all.
Imagine if the Lions had lost on the 13-second game. Imagine if the Lions had lost on that bogus, changed Taylor Swift earpiece spot yesterday on a QB sneak. Like, you are talking about things that will drive you to madness. So I walked out of this weekend thankful. Guys, look, you saw that how I reacted this year with the Yankees. I'd rather the Yankees just not make the playoffs than lose in a World Series. I don't need that.
But see, I think it's a little different here because they've still one of three teams that have never made it.
I'm aware.
So that's why if you're a Bills fan, it's like, geez, you know, now you're longing for the days where at least we made the Super Bowl and lost.
God, that's so painful.
Which I think may hurt a little bit more than just keep losing to the same guy. But for the Lions fans, you got to get there first to truly experience the worst kind of pain.
Hear me out. Get there, win it, and then nothing matters.
But see, I question now because this year was built for you to get there.
I agree with you. And next year, I think they've got a chance. Now, I have a certain way I would run this offseason, but believe me, we have months for that. But beyond next year, no, I don't view this as some endless rainbow. Yeah. I think next year is kind of that three-year prime run, and there will have to be extensive retooling before 2026. Go to Phil, 97.1. Phil, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing this afternoon?
Hey, good, Phil. What's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. Kind of changed what I was going to say just based on the previous caller. I guess I see the loss to San Francisco two seasons ago more of a personnel and a team kind of disappointment, whereas this past season and what happened against Washington is more kind of a disappointment from like the fan and like the media perspective where, you know, like you guys have said, you know, we haven't won, you know, technically anything yet. Yeah, we're a winning team now, but we haven't won anything to show for it.
Go ahead. No. I'm a little, hold on, Phil, I apologize. I'm not being a smart ass with you. I'm a little confused at what you're trying to say here now. Can you run that back for me one more time?
Yeah. So, as far as like the feelings towards like Lions, you know, these last two seasons,
right.
I feel like the loss against San Francisco, that 17-point letdown in the second half, that one hurt me personally.
Yes,
where I feel like, and then going into this season, and then getting, you know, pretty much housed by the Commanders, I feel like that was like the fans and the culture around the city and everyone, the media, were just expecting us, never even gave Washington a chance, a fighting chance in that game. Where so I was kind of more so saying that like the fans, the media for this season was like the disappointment, whereas two seasons ago it was more of a team and a personnel play calling kind of disappointment in my point of view.
Yeah, the way I would compare it, I mean, Phil, for me, last year was sadness, heartbreak. This year, anger. I'm not sad about last weekend. I'm angry. You cannot allow that team to walk into your building, turn it over five times, and get your ass kicked by a rookie quarterback running a college offense. I don't care. I mean, the injuries are what they are. And that may take you away from winning a Super Bowl. The idea that Washington pranced all around your stadium and dropped 50 on you, come on, man. Can't do it.
See, I would say this year, devastation would be the word, because you did everything. You built all of this for nothing.
That's why I'm angry. F devastation. I'm pissed.
Devastation because all the work that you did, and it's just like, you know, you set up all these, you know, Lego, and somebody just comes and just kicks it over.
And that's anger. That's where you take a baseball bat to them. Anger.
That's when you just sit there with your pile of Legos like, why?
Or Rico sits there devastated.
Why? Why'd you do that?
So you basically... You
sit there with... You don't know what to do next. Do I rebuild it? Do I clean these up? Do I chase after you? What do I do? I don't know. Devastated.
Okay, I'll leave it alone. We'll go to Christian 97.1. Christian, what's going on, buddy? Christian.
Personally, I think Aaron Glenn's departure is not going to hurt the Lions. It'll actually be helpful in the long run.
All right, go ahead. Give it a spin. Why do you feel that way?
If you look at this defense, it was good during the front half of the season when we had all of our players, but as soon as a couple of key pieces got hurt, he couldn't hold it together except for one game against Minnesota. That's the only game he looked any good in.
Okay, but if you don't have the players, what coordinator do you think would hold it together?
Well, I think that you're running man coverage every play when you clearly have incompetent safeties and corners is not going to help at all. You should run. If you ran some zone, he could have maybe gotten a couple more stops on defense.
But here's your problem. Listen, they ran a ton of zone against Washington. How'd that work for you? It didn't. You got gutted. Second of all, they draft players based on an archetype of how they want to play defense. They want to be a man team. And that's your best version of you. When they have gone zone, they get ripped up. This all emanates from, and it's why, the Hutchinson thing. I don't think anyone. That's where I got so angry when people were like, oh, it doesn't matter, next man up. There is no next man up. Not for a guy like Aiden.
No.
There is no next man up for a guy like Aleem. It all emanates from that front four. If your front four gets put together the right way this offseason, believe me, no one's going to be talking about man versus zone. Because you will have a pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you gotta keep the main thing the main thing. Meaning, if you don't have a defensive line, you could have Deion Sanders clones in your secondary. You won't stop anybody.
No.
That's why you weren't beating Philly.
Their safeties are objectively good.
Yes,
so for him, to say they're incompetent, it's like, what are you talking about? I get you're hurt that your team lost, but come on.
Well, he's projecting. He's upset.
Right. He needs a bad guy. He needs a boogeyman. And look, Aaron Glenn is probably the least of all the things that I'll blame, because he didn't have much. So he knew, if I sit back in zone, I'm going to get torn apart.
So we're going to go man, we're going to blitz, and we're going to kill everybody.
And I'm going to give myself a 50-50 chance every down, knowing I can get burned, but I can also get to the quarterback. He was forced to do that.
But I'm with Rico in this one, too. I wouldn't mind shopping at the expensive aisle for a corner. You can't go into next season with Terry and Arnold, Rakestraw, Vildor, Roberts. You can't. You got to have a lead dog. And I don't know what that is. Do you really want to commit to Carlton Davis? Try to make it five straight seasons? He's missed at least four games? Because guess what? His streak went to, I believe, four straight years, missing at least four games, including when you needed him most.
Yeah, I think the Rakestraw thing hurt because I don't even recall him doing anything this season.
No, it was, but again, rookie, that's rookies.
Right, but it ended up looking like a wasted pick. Like, well, you probably didn't, could have took somebody else because doubling up, it's like, okay, you just drafted your future backfield. And
I know.
It took Arnold some time, but I think he's there. I don't know if he's the number one yet.
No, and that's why you see, when you talked about the elite quarterbacks on the schedule, I'm talking about fans need to understand it ain't going to be a rat like Brock Purdy waiting for you most years.
Okay, serious.
Sorry, had to get some slander in.
There you go.